Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of our favourite bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by an Olympic gold medalist.
Oh, yeah, Max Whitlock. Fantastic.
Yeah, Max Whitlock joined us post-Olympics, talked us through how he got another gold and talked a bit about soccer aid and other matters besides.
Where to buy a bucket, that sort of thing.
That's it, yeah, all the important stuff. Andy had some training tips for him. Sorry, Andy. I say Andy because Andy Hamilton also joined us in the studio.
Funny man.
Yeah, comedian, Chelsea fan, he popped in the flesh. And then another Andy McVeigh was with us. He's the Burley Banksy. He does his thing in Leeds.
Yeah, and his mum was punditing for us.
Yeah,
he talked us
through tales of watching the game with your mum, and he was very funny. We had a bit of a chat, of course.
Lovely stuff. Some great goals scored by people, not meaning to. Any of those will be in.
Yeah, we did our best to squeeze. We had loads of good ones. We haven't squeezed them in yet. Here it all is anyway. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. We've got to beat Poland, haven't we, Paul?
They're a good team.
We should be beating Poland.
This was always going to be the toughest game when they looked at all the group matches, I'm sure. Gareth would say that. Poland away. They're in good nick. They're scoring lots of goals. Lewandowski, I mean, we've had the debate on TalkSport today, Lewandowski or Kane. At the moment, Lewandowski's in better nick. H, God bless him, is a bit ring rusty. I think we've seen that in the last couple of games, even though, you know,
great diving
ring
header,
rust
though.
On
that
him. Still, it still is. I mean, he's still an excellent player, but he's not quite up to the sort of speed you can expect of him, and Lewandowski has been looking good. But, you know, it's not going to be easy tonight, and I don't think a draw would be a bad result. England are expected to win, and I kind of expect them to win, but
I think they
will. You come away with a draw, it's not the end of the world.
It feels like a hangover from those miserable results in the 80s. That everyone's thinking, Poland away, we never beat Poland away. Mm. We always draw or lose to them in the 80s, didn't we? But I just feel like we're going to have too much.
We'll have too much.
Although, you know, Lewandowski and Kane, obviously two greatly known strikers, Paul.
Yeah.
This morning, I think I saw one of the great unknown strikers yet to be signed. I did.
Right.
We were doing the school run this morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live in the countryside, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're walking to school with my daughter and my wife. And my wife accidentally, there was an apple tree had dropped its load on the pavement. She accidentally kicked an apple.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's quite good fun. She kicked that.
She got head over it, did she?
No.
Nice and technique. Very little backlift.
Another mum coming the other way accidentally kicked the same apple while it was moving down a drain hole. What a finish.
Yeah.
I mean, what a finish.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if people had accidentally scored goals or had scored goals with inanimate objects. I wonder if we can get some tales of that.
I once accidentally kicked a stone. You know, when you're walking along, you catch a stone, you don't even know it's there. It caught this woman right on the ankle.
Was it a yellow?
It was, but it really cracked. She went, ah! She gave out one. I didn't know whether to admit it on purpose. What do you do? I mean, I can't say that was me. It looks like I was aiming for her.
It was a cooker as well, the apple.
It's quite a decent one.
Wife caught it with her left foot. Not a best foot, but caught it with her left. Bit of curve on it. This other mum, poof, back of the drain.
She drilled it.
Really did.
Okay, well, if you found yourself accidentally playing football, that might be quite good. Accidentally playing football with stuff in the street and the fallout from it. Do let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Was it, you did pick the cookers up?
Of course I went. I laughed and went, you know, nothing.
And the
other lady nothing gave you nothing. Yeah? Everyone was just on their school run, Paul. No one wants any jokes.
They don't want any eye contact.
We've had enough.
Yeah, that's it.
We've
yeah.
had the kids long enough now.
That's it.
Get them to school.
What did your missus say? Did she? Nothing. She's used to it, Paul.
She finds me very irritating. Funny, but also hugely irritating.
I think that's true of most marriages, isn't it, really?
I think so, but yeah.
I think we should take...
19 happy years, then we met each other. That's the joke, isn't it?
There is. So, let's hear on that. The interesting thing here in the call TalkSport Towers, of course,
yes.
is that these days in our facilities, in our... toilets, they play the best of Virgin Radio.
They do.
We have it on a loop. We have the Virgin Radio playlist, our sister station, and you always know what's playing because you're past somebody and you're out there and they go out and they're going, "Start me up, you're gorgeous," and everybody's just basically everybody's walking out humming the song they've just had in the loo. It's become a thing. So you know when you go in there,
the Stones have
just finished. or Mrs. Robinson by the Lemonheads. That's very popular.
Cover, is it?
Better than Frank Sinatra's, but that isn't difficult. One of the worst covers of all.
That's not good.
Have you heard Frank's version of Mrs. Robinson?
Not good. And
every song should be able to swing, but I think
Leaving on a Jet Plane. Have you ever heard that one, Paul? Yeah, he does. It might even be the same album.
Some things are meant not to swing, despite what Paul Anker tried, didn't he? Everybody Hurts, maybe, by R.E.M. Oh Superman by Laurie Anderson. Does
Van
he ever do a
Halen
version of that?
Jump.
Some things aren't meant to swing. Anyway, we'll see if we can find that for you, Charlie.
That'd be nice.
Mrs. Robinson by Frank, not for me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us this afternoon about playing football by accident. Charlie Baker regaled us with a tale on the school run of how his wife kicked a cooking apple today, had fallen from the tree, ran to another mum who inadvertently didn't mean to kick it back. Wasn't like they weren't playing, you know, wasn't like that Nike advert.
No, it wasn't like they
with all
they
the Brazilian
no,
players. No, and the ball was... just sort of came, the apple came back by accident, toe punted, but straight into a drain.
What a finish, Paul. I tell you, an absolute natural talent.
Yeah. Michael says, I kicked a stone on my own from school, almost at home. The stone flicked up off a drop curb, smashed my dad's new rear windscreen on his Sierra Sapphire.
The Sapphire.
It's a circa 1990. I was 15.
That was the upgrade, wasn't it? The Sapphire, a bit quicker, 2 litre injection
lovely
engine.
Vehicle. Ooh,
yeah,
lovely vehicle,
car,
sir, fully loaded.
One
drunken New Year's Eve, dancing in the front room, and my wife slipped, spun round, stuck her leg out to try and stabilise, and shot a fallen bauble right into the top corner of the radiator.
Oh, great.
It's fantastic. Yes, the bauble splintered into a million pieces. Thank you very much for that. So playing football by accident.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Yeah. Lovely stuff. Really good.
Now, perusing Twitter the other day, there was a little thread by a man who's been a guest on the show before, Andy McVeigh. He's the Burley Banksy. So people in Leeds will have seen his fine artwork on the electrical boxes, the sort of things that BT and Virgin, of course, put up for their engineers. And he does some beautiful things
it's
on
sort
there.
Of pop art, he does, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's
beautiful
lovely stuff.
Style, it's classic style football stuff, like... old programs and that sort of thing.
It's
got, it?
Really it's a, it's a, it is a lovely style. Yeah. And but Andy, in this case, was talking about watching the England game the other night with his old mum. And it was a very funny
it
thread.
It was funny.
And
yes.
We want to get the listeners going on that. So we thought we would get Andy on to talk about
his
that.
His mum was like a pundit, wasn't she? She seemed to be in his ear next to her, like a sort of Mark Lawrenson type.
Well, she was offering, in some cases, the sort of stuff that you get from people yeah. probably on 500 grand a year. Good afternoon, Andy.
You all right?
Yeah, we're good.
Very good, Andy.
Now, we've subsequently discovered that your mum doesn't know that you put this out on social media. Is she going to find out now?
Chuffy, now, don't tell her, for God's sake. She'll murder me. She'll never wash me underpants ever again.
Well, you need to grow up, Andy, anyway. Do that yourself.
Yeah. So it was funny because I think it was, you know, other people would look at it and think, oh, yeah, it would be just like that if I watched it. In what circumstances did you find yourself concentrating on what your mum was saying about the game? Don't you normally watch games with her?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched the game with her for ages. And since we went up, Leeds, she's got a little bit more interested because she said, oh, I didn't realise just how much it meant to you and Danny, my son, her grandson and stuff. And now I tell her about Bielsa and she says, oh, what did that funny man say at the end of the game? Was it all Shakespeare again? and then Bamford was making his debut, wasn't he? So me and Danny, my boy, we said, well, let's go watch it around at Grandma's because we haven't seen her for ages anyway, kind of thing. So we went round to watch it with her and we told her that a Leeds player was making his day. Ooh, that'd be nice for the young man and all this kind of stuff. And then she just started coming out with this stuff. And I just thought, this is gold, this. So she first of all started commenting on Gareth Southgate's attire. Mm. And she went, he don't need to wear a suit. A smart sweater will be enough. Or just a nice work shirt. And it just tickled me. And it just kept going and going and going. And
she didn't like the spitting, did she? The players.
Oh no! And some of it she didn't realise the double entendre. She was going, I don't know if I believe. She was saying we need to penetrate those other men. And I was going,
maybe
and
she
and
did
Danny
know.
Were looking at each other. She yeah. didn't have a clue.
Maybe she did know Andy, and you know she's lived her life. What's offside?
Well, I don't want to think about that, mate. I don't want to think about that side of her life, to be honest.
She gave you a what's offside, didn't she? Why don't they kick it nearer the posts? That's
a good point.
That's all good advice. I think there's been managers who've offered that over the years.
Well, I mean, it's the kind of Dave Bassett school of management, really. Mm. I mean, it's not far off, is it? And so I got the salt and pepper pot out and the tomato ketchup,
sure.
You know, like you do to explain offside.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of got that. She kind of said, and I said, you know, remember mum goal hanging? Remember me talking about goal hanging when I were a kid? And she went, oh, right, yeah, so you can't just be lazy up at the front then and just stand there and take the glory. And I went, that's it. That's exactly
that's
what it
exactly
is.
It.
Even though Gary Lineker made a career out of it, but there you go.
And then Harry Kane, she was... what did she make Harry Kane, Andy? Remind us.
Well, she said, how old is he there? And I told her he was the captain and he was, you know, the golden boy and he'd just missed that sitter with his left foot. And I said, oh, he's been having a bit of trouble lately, Harry. He wants to go somewhere else and all that. And she said, oh, is it putting him off? And I said, yeah. And she said, how old is he? Because I thought they were young. And I said, well, I think he's 28, 29. And I said, well, I thought he was 40. he looked and I thought, bloody hell. Yeah. You know,
but he has got a timeless look, hasn't he, Harry Kane? This could be a footballer from any... In history,
yeah.
Any era of football in history at all.
He's got that World War II haircut.
That's what he's got, exactly, yeah.
Sitting there smoking a pipe waiting to go up in a Spitfire. Yeah, that's a little bit of that. But in the end, she got a bit... But she did notice just how defensive Andorra were, though, didn't she? She did pick up on that.
They're not even trying to go forward, are they? And I tried to explain the disparity between our quality of players and theirs, and there's no point because we'll just annihilate them on the counter. And so they're just trying to keep the score down. But then their goalie made a great save. And she went, ooh, what happened there? And I said, well, he's tipped that around the post. And she went, really? And then the bit I didn't put on Twitter, she went, ooh, that's good of him to do that, isn't it? And I went, well, it's kind of his job, ma'am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Push it around. Yeah, but still, it's very good of him to do that for his team, isn't it?
Was it entertaining your lad? Was he enjoying watching Gran watch the match?
Well, he didn't realise I was tweeting it, and then he was on his phone, because he's a teenager and he's always on his phone whilst watching the game, obviously. And then he said, hang on a minute, Dad, are you tweeting? He said, you can't say this about Grandma. What are you doing? Does she know? And I went, shh, keep stum, and we won't get that trifle after the game.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I've worked out why you went. It was a Sunday tea time game, wasn't it? He was thinking, how can we get free lunch here? Yeah. We'll go over and see Grandma.
We're full Yorkshire.
I can imagine.
I'd like to point out that she doesn't actually wash my underpants.
No, of course not. She did. I loved it when you said, Mum's now bored and is talking about the Rothwell bus routes, which you wouldn't get from Graham Souness, would you? Even in a very dull game.
Well, you know, the number 29 is a real disgrace.
It's the number 46. It's the 446, apparently. It's not going down A Road anymore. And it's missed out the council estate. So that's the major talking point in Rothwell. That, you know what I mean?
Well, what's happening with your painting, Andy? Paul's shown me a lot of your work, and it's absolutely fantastic. And it's street art as well, isn't it? Brightens up the place. You're a one club city. Why isn't it allowed?
Yeah, it was funny that you said, you know, it's a pop art style. That's just because I can't chuff in draw, to be honest. No, it's going really well. It's now become my living, would you believe?
Fantastic.
People want me to paint their bedrooms, their sheds, their man caves, you know, their offices and all this kind of stuff.
Brilliant.
And I do prints and, you know, T-shirts. I mean, it's bizarre, really. It's still, yeah. I have to pinch myself, really.
Are the club giving you their blessing? Are they happy? Have you heard from them?
I work with Leeds United Foundation now, going into schools, doing art, because I used to be a teacher anyway, but now I'm going doing art, which is used to be a PE teacher. Yeah. They've been good to me, the club. I'm hoping to try and paint in the stadium. Obviously there's loads of blank canvases in the stadium, loads of blank concourses.
Yeah.
So we're trying to sort something out with that. Which would be amazing. I'd do that for no. Don't tell them I said that. But that would be amazing. But yeah. So, and I just do the boxes when I've got some time. I do them for free, I do them when I've got a bit of time and when weather's good, like now, sort of thing. So
you contacted Virgin, and I mean, last time we spoke to you, I think you'd contacted Virgin and BT and got their blessing. But I was reading something recently where somebody, the council, had a couple of complaints from people, and BT went and painted over a couple of them. Has that all been sorted out now?
They were in Rothwell, actually. They weren't even football ones. But yeah, BT, I thought I had permission with BT, and it was all a bit, I thought I had, and apparently I didn't, and it all got a bit complicated, but I didn't see what the problem was. But three people in Rothwell complained out of 20-odd thousand people living in Rothwell. So they painted over them, and then there was this massive sort of outcry saying, you know, why have you painted over them? And they got thousands of emails in a day from all over the country, all over the world, really, saying, you know, we want the art back. So I had a meeting with them, and they, you know, they apologised, and they said, yeah, we think we've got this wrong, and you know, you're good to go, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So they've been good about it in the end, yeah.
I saw a nice Rob Burrow one you'd done as well.
Yeah, I did that just the other day, actually. I'm not really into rugby and rhinos, and I live right next stadium, but I've had loads of people saying, you know, can you do a rhinos one? And I just thought it'd be nice to combine that with the Rob Burrow, because Paul lad's very ill, isn't he? And I saw a documentary, and it was just heartbreaking. So, and they've done bigger, you know, much more professional murals to Rob than me, it's one in town. But that's right outside the Leeds Rhinos Stadium.
Lovely.
So I thought that'd just be like a little nice little nod to him and his family, really.
And it's the cricket one. I don't like cricket. I love it. Is that outside Headingley, I take it, is it?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's, I mean, the sort of Rhinos and the Yorkshire cricket are the same stadium, essentially. They're part of the same complex. So that's right outside. Yeah, it's an old NBC song, isn't it? Yeah.
Lovely.
I love a bit of cricket myself, so I've got a couple more cricket ones in mind. So.
Oh, good. Well, look, yeah, more power to you. They look fantastic, and people can go and check out your shop. As you said, you know, it's all taken off. Burley Banksy.
You have to do this now, don't you, when you're a businessman? You have to plug your website.
You've got the chance. BurleyBanksy.com. Go and check it out. Yeah. Andy McVeigh on Twitter. Andy, good to talk to you. Give our best to your mum. She's going to be on Gogglebox at this rate, I think.
You know what? She'd be belting, wouldn't she?
Yeah. That's great, yeah. We're going to get the listeners going on this now. All the best. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Cheers, Andy.
There we are. Andy McVeigh there, the Burley Banksy. And if you've got towels or watching the game with your mum, Andy's mum's come out with some corkers. You do well to match those. But if you can, along with playing football by accident, talksport.com /H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Keep them coming. Playing football with random objects, says Ben. Snowboarding in Val d'Isère. Went to kick what I thought was a massive snow football, only to painfully realise it was a snow-covered concrete ball.
Oh, no.
Oh, OK. So, yeah. Had to style it out. Well, that couldn't have been easy, Ben. I once accidentally dropped a piece of popcorn after going seeing a film and volleyed it, only for it to be returned by none others than the Celtic legend Henrik Larsson.
Oh, lovely. He saw it.
Well, he saw it in the air.
Couldn't resist it.
Couldn't resist it. Just cushioned it with his knee and volleyed it back. Fantastic. In the
Fantastic.
Thank you, Nico, for that.
Yeah. There's a few texts coming in. I think they're for Talk Radio. I think they must be doing a phone in on Roy Chubby Brown because we're getting a lot of lefty presenter, unfunny comedian one.
Oh, okay.
Get it, never even heard of him, all that sort of thing. So I think they're doing a discussion, unless people just physically hate me, Paul.
They don't hate you.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's that.
It just seems a lot when we, you know, we've been pretty innocuous so far.
And suddenly they've really turned.
Yeah,
really. Just because your wife people are normally a cooking apple.
People are normally very nice to me. You know,
doesn't make maybe it's public the enemy number one.
We'll
let Ian Collins know that we're getting his mail. Well, I'll take it down to him. Well, I've been getting your letters, Ian.
We've got your hate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jilly loves you more than you will know.
I'm not sure, Charles. I've told you before. It's Frank Sinatra.
Do you know who Jilly is in that song?
Do you know who Jilly is?
Jilly owned the nightclub he used to perform in, in all over the place. Welcome to Jilly's West, where the elite meet to eat. That's if you listen to the Live in Las Vegas album. That's what he says. That's his opening line.
I just know it's all there. It's a great arrangement. It's Frank Sinatra, but it just it's this bit. Can we sorry, Bill?
Okay, this bit.
We'd like to help you learn to help yourself.
I just look. He can make anything swing.
He can make it work. And is that a Billy May or a Nelson Riddle arrangement? Do we know?
I'm not sure. We need to look it up. It's
great, isn't it?
They're always.
If he was doing it in this room, Paul, you'd be enjoying it.
We play this now because I said as we use the facilities here at TalkSport, they are piping in the playlist of our good friend's sister station, Virgin Radio. So. Yeah. You know what's played because people come out of the latrines humming that by the Lemonheads, You're Gorgeous, or Start Me Up by the Stones, or Suspicious Minds by Fine Young Cannibals is on the current playlist. I've heard that quite a lot.
Is it?
I've heard that quite a lot.
Yeah, I once saw the guy from the Fine Young Cannibals on a train.
Did you? Roland Gift.
And I have this thing in my head. It's like a Tourette's, like a song Tourette's. If it's in my head, it will come out of my mouth, you know, whatever happens. Anyway, I'm sitting there talking to my wife and I sort of nudged her and said, there's Roland Gift on the train. And as we were getting off, I couldn't help it. I went, John Hay, just as I was. I didn't mean to, Paul. It just came out of my mouth.
He's probably used to it. What did he say?
No, just
nothing.
Just, he must be used to it. He must get it all the time.
We've mentioned it before. Hugh Cornwell, a good friend of the show, formerly of the Stranglers, played cricket with us for the Bunburys.
Yeah.
And first time we ever played with Hugh, Andy was getting changed next to him. And I mean, even said hello at that point of being introduced. And he just started going, and Hugh turned around and said, well, I'll clean it up. He said, you taking the mickey? And they became firm friends.
And that was
it. An icebreaker. But Andy didn't mean it. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I saw you and immediately one of your songs
it's positive,
it
happens, isn't it?
Because
it's a good riff, you know. You can't help but sing it to people.
We're interested to know, after our chat with Annie McVeigh, very entertaining chat in the last hour, whether you've ever... Watching the game with your mum. I'm sure you have. Andy's mum has had some fantastic stories. He's watched the England-Andorra game. So do let us know. Watching the game with your mum and the stuff she came out with in the goggle box style. talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. No, that's not right, is it? Yes. Text to 81089. Tweet TSH&J. TSHANDJ. I mentioned to you earlier on, I went to the ice hockey once at the Ali Pally.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this sort of family sitting next to us. It's a minor Haringey Flyers, whatever the team were called. Yeah. That was a long time ago, 15, 10 years ago. And nice family sitting next to us, and we got chatting to them. They said, oh, yeah, our son plays for one of the teams out there
exciting.
Today. I was saying, oh, lovely. He said, yeah, you know, he started to ice skate with his friends and then the chance to play ice hockey, and he's tried out for one or two. I think he went to Nottingham for a trial. But here he is, he's playing and he loves this level.
Lovely.
What lovely people. We're sitting there, lovely people. And then the game starts and then about 10 minutes, he's the enforcer. The gloves come off and he's windmilling. He's trying to punch the other
Hit him, Darren.
And they're going, hit him. Yeah, it was. Go on. And then, but they changed. It was like a blood sport all of a sudden. You can never tell
lovely
someone's fam, mum.
Nice and gentle. Talk,
never
yeah.
tell with someone's mum.
You never know. I used to stand in front of a Talk United player's mum and she'd be all there. Come on, Kevin! Get in, Kevin!
Did you go out of your way to stand behind
you'd
her?
You'd sort of move. You would just move away, you know. So.
You're also telling us when you play football by mistake after Charlie's wife kicking a cooking up on earlier on the score run to another mum who fired it back accidentally. She didn't mean to kick it. She was just walking along to drop the kids off.
What a finish.
But then she stuck it in a drain. So have you ever played football by mistake? I once saw an old discarded tennis ball in the street and gave it too much welly, hitting a woman just coming out of the hairdresser's flushing the new hairdo.
Wow.
He wanted to kind of get away with it, but he said, the trouble is I'm a local postman, says Paul in Glasgow.
Better than walking the streets.
A couple of very good ones. Hey. Where's there? There was a nice fireman one here. Where's it gone?
My dad was a fireman, Islington.
That's
back
right,
in
North
the day,
London, yeah.
The lads were in the courtyard when he saw a basketball on the floor. He went over and volleyed it, only to find out the ball had been split and put over the gate stop to prevent it slamming. Broken foot, ouch. That's Steve the Gooner, who also says, I just Googled that Frank Sinatra, Mrs. Robinson. It's rank.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, what a shame. Poor Frank. He's just trying to keep up with the kids.
Did you see Paul Anka, recall, brought out that album of Swing where he had like Mr. Brightside and he reimagined sort of
and
other...
Jump, Van Halen, Jump.
Yeah,
and
it's...
Some of it's good.
Some of it,
you know?
Some of it worked.
You not, sort of go, Paul Anka, you wrote My Way, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got enough money.
Yeah. But no, it was just...
From My Way.
It must be quite tempting to reimagine it. You just think, I can go in
not?
And make...
Not,
so there's certain things that
exactly.
wouldn't be right, but it shut up in your face. What could Frank give it to...
What's the matter, you? Hey, got no respect.
You see, Charlie...
Why are you looking mad? It's a nicer place. Shut up your face.
Charlie,
everybody, how do you all feel get my room?
It works. It kind of works. Later on in the week, we hope to talk for the first time on this show, which we'd only do during International Week, about competitive gold panning.
Ah, lovely, yes.
Because the European
Finally.
Title... The European title has been brought back to this country. And it's... I didn't know gold panning was a competitive sport.
For me, I looked at that story and I thought, how is someone better at it than someone else? Because surely you just dunk in your sieve into the... Into the water and into the, you know, the ground, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously, I'd be bad at it already. I don't know what how you
know
do
none
it.
Of the jargon.
I've done none
yeah.
of the jargon.
They're all
I've
laughing.
Seven.
All the,
yeah,
in the
community.
In gold panning weekly,
on
they're
talk,
all sitting in the office.
Talk gold panning. They are themselves. Going, this guy.
Listen to this bloke. He knows nothing about gold panning.
You pull it up and it's luck, isn't it?
There's some nice stories around the lady that won it, though.
Go on.
Gold panning.
We're going to speak to her.
We're going to speak to her. I don't want to
spoil it.
No, let's not waste our time here. We'll bring that to you. Anything else you want to discuss, Charlie?
Well, you know, we've got some more of these. Loads of people have scored goals, unfortunately. I was on a night out in Southampton and we were by the old Bargate shopping centre.
Nice.
Someone threw a coat hanger at me. Why was that? As you do. And I volleyed it. Without paying attention to it, and it went about 15 feet up, latching onto the bar gate roof. It hung there perfect while everyone picked me up and cheered. Amazing to be there. I don't think everyone picked him up and cheered, do you, when he volleyed a coat hanger?
I don't think so. Not like winning the World Cup.
No,
is it, really?
Exactly. I don't think so. No.
I should remind you, the Turkish transfer window is still open.
Oh, is it?
So we will bring you up to date with any late deals. There was a story today saying that Ryan Sessegnon of Spurs and England, of course, under-21s, could be off to Fenerbahce. I mean, I don't know if there's any truth in that.
He needs to do something, Paul, doesn't he?
He played in the Euro game last week or a couple of weeks ago that I went to. And he just didn't look himself. Even the things that he was great at Fulham, which is, I mean, he picked up the ball from deep. on the sort of left wing, and started charging at their defence, and was almost relieved, I think, when the defender got in the way and took the ball off him.
Well, when did he make his debut? Sort of 16, wasn't it? He was pretty young when he made it, wasn't he? But he did that big move.
I mean, he had a bit of swagger about him, but you know, I suppose he's not played. He did okay at Hoffenheim, and he's come back to Tottenham, and he's going to get sort of cameos. But I don't know if it's better for him to go off and play regularly again or not. But
when you say cameos, he's going to get like short spots. He's not going to do those where he wishes people happy birthday on their phone.
No, he's not going to do it. I don't think so. I don't think he's come to that point yet. Look, there's a good player in there, and yeah. I was really excited when we signed him, but for some reason, some moves just don't work out. I'm wondering whether it's going to happen for him there, but he doesn't look like he's got a lot of confidence at the moment. But anyway, I wish him well. He's a good young player, and he plays for England, so I want to see it work out for him.
You want if he's not working at Spurs, you want to see the young kid go and make a living, don't they?
Preferably not Arsenal, put it that way, and then shine and become the world beater we knew he would be.
Can happen,
nothing.
Paul. Can happen.
I've seen it happen before.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talksport, making a welcome return to the studio, actually in the flesh.
Exciting.
It's always lovely to see another human being. You'll be surprised, even though there's a bit more freedom to move around, a lot of people are still saying, well, can't we just do it on Zoom? But not Andy Hamilton. Good to see you, Andy.
Thank you. I classify as a human being.
Thank you for making the effort where many don't, which is very good of you.
No, it's nice to be, like you say, nice to be with real people.
Yeah.
And
you're off on tour, aren't you? So you'll be with real people in an audience.
Yeah, a twice postponed
I was going to say,
tour.
Yeah.
So part of me can't quite believe that it's coming around. But on Sunday week, I'd start in Swindon. And then, I mean, it's not a mega tour. It's a sort of leisurely, gentlemanly tour. Mm. I think there's about 12 dates.
So nice, yeah, but very nice, really nice theatres. Swindon, Wimborne, Tivoli, Redhill, Guildford, the Ivan Arno, the Oxford Playhouse, Winchester, Monmouth, Cheltenham. Really nice venues.
Yeah, they are lovely.
You'll have a good time, won't you?
Yeah, yeah. And it'll be interesting. I mean, what I don't know is what the audience is going to look like, because I've been asking around and some people have said, oh, they've been in theatres and about half the people were masked. Some say, oh, virtually no one was masked.
Yeah.
And I presume it's going to vary from venue to venue.
Yeah. I went to see some in the West End about a month ago. Again, things are changing all the time. And everybody was in masks there. You were reminded to put the masks on. It's a bit weird. It was a kind of comedy thing. I think you can hear the laughter, but you can't. It must affect the performance to an extent. You can't see people's laughter, their smiles.
They'll have to communicate with their eyes.
They will. They will.
Or maybe
that's what I tell myself.
Yeah. That's right. We always like to delude ourselves. They're laughing inside. And there are other ways, aren't they? They can, if they're on the end of the aisle, they can fall off their seat and stuff if they want to convey. It'll be interesting. I have no idea. One thing COVID's taught us is to manage our expectations not have any. So I'm going out. It is genuinely a step into the unknown. So it'll be interesting.
And you're going to be sort of talking about your career. I mean, we've talked to you before about you co-create and wrote Outnumbered. You're going right back to the 70s working on radio. You did Drop the Dead Donkey. And then you've appeared on lots of TV shows like Have I Got News for You, etc. So it's been a rich and varied career. So it's tales of that.
Rich and varied.
War stories.
Sometimes, I mean, what fundamentally, the shape of the show is dictated by what the audience ask me about. Mm. You know, I come out and I do a quarter of an hour just to sort of get everyone nice and relaxed. And to be honest, historically, when I've done it, the questions vary from, you know, sort of big political issues down to, you know, who's your favourite comedian kind of thing. Yeah. So it's pretty varied, yeah.
But you've been around a long time. You are established, Andy.
Established is a good word.
So you're in people's homes a lot, aren't you? If you're on Radio 4 and on those shows, and you're on the TV a lot, so people will see you as a friend. So they must have questions that they've always wanted to ask you, you know, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, again, from experience, a lot of the audience that come out to these shows is that Radio 4 audience, you know, the audience that has listened to me on being Satan on Old Harry's Game or shouting my mouth off on News Quiz or, you know, so... And, well, as you know, I mean, radio does create this more intimate connection, maybe. So, but it's really nice to meet the people who like your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people are very nice. That someone's people stop you in the street sometimes and say, oh, you know, but to actually have an audience of people who you know are there because they've chosen to be there.
Yeah.
You know, they've paid good money to see you.
Do they ever ask you football questions? Has Chelsea ever come up?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it comes up. Obviously, it depends where I'm playing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, if I'm playing Leeds,
yeah,
I might not bring it up.
Yeah. You ain't got in the full Chelsea kit, of course.
Maybe not.
and stuff about football and how it's changed, for, you know, both for the better and for the worse. And, yeah. I'm happy to go off on one about football, yeah.
I've not caught the... I know Charlie's watched it. I don't know if you have, Andy, the Premier League documentary.
Yeah, the Fever Pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching it. What did it bring it all back?
Yeah.
For better or worse?
I'm hesitating to say this in this building.
You're allowed to say it.
But I thought that possibly it got a little bit too caught up with the kind of romantic drama of the story of that first season, Man United, Blackburn Rovers, that kind of stuff. I would have preferred if they'd done more about actually the politics of it and what the real sort of seismic shifts were in the game, you know. Yeah, I wasn't bowled over. There were some really interesting bits. Mm,
yeah.
There was some candid footage taken in the Man United dressing room where they were all hung
over. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Yeah, we were hung over and they had a big
thought,
party.
That was really interesting because, you know, and you thought, well, actually, that was on its way out.
Yeah.
That was the old First Division that you saw in that dressing room.
Yeah.
The new Premiership in 5 years' time was going to be continental managers, foreign players, you know, who would never understand how people could play hungover, you know.
This historical change happening in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
One thing I picked out of your press release was that you've just handwritten a novel. And it's going to be printed handwritten.
Yeah, it's out.
Longhand.
It's out now, as they say, in paperback and hardback. And it's called...
Have you got terrible hand? Are you like a doctor?
No.
We're going to be able to read it.
You are. No, the publishers, you know, Unbound, they would have been mad to commission it. I've got decent handwriting. and it's called Longhand. And, it is the first ever novel to be published in the author's handwriting or in handwriting.
Wow.
Full stop. I say that we know of. I mean, in Bulgaria or somewhere it may have been done. But we're not aware of... I mean, obviously, you've got things like Wainwright's Walks, you know, about the Lake District where it was published in his handwriting.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're aware. And there is a reason for it. It's not just a gimmick. It's because the story takes the form of a letter that a man, a very interesting and rather mysterious man, has had to leave behind for the woman he's been living with for 20 years, explaining why he's had to disappear. So he's tried to set it all down, the whole story, in a rush, in handwriting. So, it is legible.
Is it the original? It hasn't got all your crossings out and a little bit of egg that fell out of an egg sandwich?
I put myself in his position. He's writing this story against the clock. He has to get it finished by a deadline, so there are crossings out, you know. I mean, because I figured that he wouldn't go back to the start and begin again. But and sometimes the crossings out tell you how he's feeling. You know, if there's a page that's mostly crossings out, you know he's upset, you know.
Yeah.
And that was inspired by, I went to the British Library and there was an amazing exhibit, which was a letter that Queen Elizabeth I wrote to the court, to her courtiers, saying, if it's all the same with you, I'll choose whether I marry or not. You know, they were trying to line her up with foreign princes. And it starts off in this beautiful copper plate, you know, writing. And then gradually it gets wilder and
wilder.
And then this crosses out. And then she's writing up the side in the margin of crossing that. And I thought it was just a wonderful example of how someone's handwriting tells you the story, tells you what's happening. So I use that narratively a little bit, not a lot. He's a very tall Scotsman with a secret past.
Wow, sounds good. And it's available now, you say?
It is.
We're not talking about Alex Ferguson again.
Quick one on Chelsea. You confident this year? You think they can win it this year? They're pretty well set up. They've got a very good squad.
I'm moderately confident. We have a manager who looks, you know, I think he kind of gives you what you want from a boss, which is that he looks like he's in control. He looks like he knows what he's doing. Mm. I've always felt nervous. I've always thought that if I was a footballer, which, of course, I would have been had I not had, you know, if I'd not had exams and stuff to do. Yeah.
If you could have been bothered.
I would have been.
Yeah.
I've thought that it can never be good for your confidence to see your boss going nuts on the touchline. You know, I've never understood that. You know, if I see my boss out of control on the touchline, my immediate thought is going to be, oh, we're in trouble. It would be like seeing the captain of the Titanic sort of panicking. So what I like about Tuchel is he does seem to be in control of himself and of the situation. And he seems to sort of have a knack for making the right decisions at the right time, because I was surprised we won the Champions League, but he seemed to manage that in a way. They did it almost rather calmly, and you know, there were no great scares, were there?
Well, Alonso was on his way out. Rudiger was probably on his way out. Could have gone out on loan. I mean, it just turned
what he's doing.
I think the players. He's obviously one of those managers who gives the players a very clear idea of what he wants. You know.
Yeah, he's a good
we'll
guy.
See.
So, Andy Hamilton on tour.co.uk. You can find it. Andy Ham _ on tour on Twitter, and unbound.com. You'll find the details of Longhand Andy's book. And best of luck with the tour. You're starting on the 19th of September, I see. So.
Yeah, Sunday week. Nice. I think that's the 19th.
Yes. Lovely
stuff. That's when I'm going anyway.
Yeah. get there early. So, thank you, Andy. Good to see you.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker. Well, we've just got over all the excitement of the Olympics and Paralympics, and we've got a Commonwealth Games on these shores next year in Birmingham. Very much looking forward to that. I'll be taking in some sport. My eldest boy lives in Birmingham now, so he's in the ballot from tomorrow. It kicks off tomorrow for the Commonwealth Games. Tickets very reasonably priced. And
the bowls, isn't it? The Crown Green Bowls is in the Commonwealth Games, isn't it? I think so. Yeah, I'm
going to
probably look into that.
Maybe our next guest.
Before I said that out loud, I should have looked into that.
Maybe our next guest is looking to branch out. We'll find out. Olympic gold medalist, of course, in the pommel horse. Max Whitlock. Good afternoon, Max.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
Crown Green Bowls, you ever tried that?
Do you know what? I actually did just before Olympics. It was one of the things when we was in a bubble, we made use of what we could do, and bowls was one of those things, and I quite enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, well, who knows? Yeah, that's it. Never mind the gymnastics. So it must have been a very different Olympics for you. Maybe we'll just pick up on that, because, you know, you've been so used to taking in a different city, you know, different culture, but there wasn't a lot you could do this time, was there?
No, and obviously for good reason as well. And I think, yeah, it was restrictive. Of course it was. There was obviously loads of protocols we followed with testing every day. Basically didn't want us mixing with the Japanese public, which we completely understood, and it was the safest way to do it. And if I'm honest, if you look at everything that surrounded it, it was an amazing Olympics with all of that involved. You know, it was still incredible experience for everybody. And if they're looking back now, I'm just hugely, hugely grateful that it went ahead, because, as you know, it was a big question for a long time.
The event you do, the pommel horse, looks incredibly, incredibly difficult. You practice the same routine over and over again. Am I right in that, Max? That's how it works.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say it's just muscle memory, but of course it's a very difficult muscle memory to get, because you have to do it so much. I've seen you training, and this is the sensible question I've got for you now. I've seen you training with your feet in a bucket on a bit of rope. Is that how it works? Is that just is it a normal bucket, Max? That's what I'm asking you. Is it something you'd just go and buy from B&Q, or is there a specific pommel horse bucket?
No. Normal one, literally buy it from anywhere, tie it to a bit of string and hang it up. And what it does, it basically takes a lot of the weight off of you. So it's a really good kind of, for youngsters, for young kids, or if you're an adult trying it for the first time, it's a good kind of preparation, like progression stage. Just to help you kind of hold your body weight up, really. Wow. So, 100% right.
There we are.
I'll go and get myself a bucket.
Just any old bucket. There we are, you see.
So the Commonwealth Games coming up. I take it you'll be there.
Yeah, I'm massively looking forward to it. You know, Commonwealth Games for me is always a key competition on my calendar. And the first Commonwealth Games that I'd done was actually me making my debut onto a kind of senior stage. So I've got massively fond memories of competing at Commonwealth Games, and, you know, you get huge experience from it, huge learning curves, and this one, you know, in our home country. That's obviously a rare occasion, so I cannot wait.
You got a silver, didn't you, last time out? And I know I remember reading at the time you were saying you're going to use that as a kind of inspiration for you to go one better at the Olympics. We could see the disappointment, I think, after that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've had a few years where I've got silver, I've made slight mistakes. I think, yeah, and it's hard, you know, as an athlete, if you're trying to push yourself and trying to push yourself more and it doesn't go right in a day, then, you know, it can be hard, but it's part of it. You know, those are the times where actually you do learn the most, times where it doesn't go to plan fully and you learn so much from it and hopefully move forward and make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think if you look at that case, it definitely taught me some really important lessons.
I mean, the gold medal performance in these recent Olympics, you seem to be saying to your coach afterwards, I don't know where that came from. Obviously, you knew the routine, you knew what you had to do. But I suppose that's the difference between the guys who win medals and those that don't. They're the ones that can turn up when it matters with the pressure of that, defending a title, which I imagine is much harder than challenging for one,
and then
executing it.
Well, 100% without a doubt, it is the most important thing. You could go through the whole preparation stages and have an amazing, amazing preparation period, but the competition might go to plan. And it might work the other way around as well, where it might just not all be going right. And do you know what? On that day, you can pull it out of the bag. And it's at that time, the right day, the right time, the right moment, you have to pull it off. And Tokyo was one of those moments for me. So, you know, I never expect titles. You can't in sport because you know how close the miles can be, but I always like to go with the potential to. But when it comes off, you pull it off and actually everything just goes right. Mm. Yeah, I couldn't quite believe it.
Fantastic. Really, I mean, really impressive. Really impressive, Max.
Thank you.
I mean, I made a weak joke about the Crown Green Bowls earlier on, but it is in the
Commonwealth
Games.
Oh, you've been looking up.
Leamington, Royal Leamington Spa Bowls Clubs, Victoria Clubhouse has gone a huge world-class refurbishment for the Commonwealth Games. On that note, on a serious point about that, things like the Olympics, things like the Commonwealth Games do give a platform to sports that don't necessarily get the funding and get the eyeballs on them the rest of the year, which sort of includes gymnastics. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you are right. Yeah, and I think that's what's so important. You know, that's what's amazing about a multi-sport event. And like I said before, it's even more amazing that we've got it in our home country.
Yeah.
So we need to kind of take advantage of that. We really, really do, and enjoy the atmosphere of it. You know, and see these new sports. We've even got new sports coming to the Commonwealth Games event as a whole, which we're really excited to see. There's new venues being put up. There's refurbishments being done. There's a lot of work that's gone into it. So you know, it should be an amazing, amazing game.
Do you take in other sports when you go to events like this? Do you kind of just flash the pass and go, think, I'll go and check out some handball or whatever? Have you done a bit of that in the past?
In the past, of course I have, yeah. You know, at other Commonwealth Games, we've watched other events when our gymnastics is done. And, you know, same with Olympic Games, when gymnastics is done, we go and try and support the others and watch because it's exciting. You know, we love sport. We're involved in sport. It's a shame we couldn't do it this Olympic Games in Tokyo. Because of COVID reasons. But, hopefully by the Commonwealth Games, that will definitely be possible.
You had Soccer Aid at the weekend. That must have been a lot of fun. I did notice, though, in one of the reports, they said Chelsea Grimes should have had a penalty because you fouled her. Do you think that's right?
Oh, we'll try and forget about that one, I think. what an experience that was. That was incredible. But I can say I've literally found a new respect for footballers. I had a lot of respect for footballers in the first place, but even more so now. That was so, so hard. Mm. And my legs are still sore from it. But an amazing experience, some amazing people, raising a lot of money for children all around the world. So, yeah, honoured to be a part of it.
Well, I can't imagine Jordan Henderson being any good on the old Pommelors,
Matt. Yeah, that's
so
right. That
was, different,
yeah.
Different skills, isn't it?
That's
different
it.
Skills.
Yeah, exactly, do you
exactly.
Follow a football team, Max? Are you into a football team or not?
I'm one of those people, I don't follow a team, but, you know, like with the Euros, the World Cup, everything, when England's on, I'm there and I'm that super expert at shouting at the TV, thinking I'm one of those. But I was on the other end of it and I learned a lot of lessons this time, definitely.
You've had a great honour, apart from the gold post box in Hemel Hempstead, which you had anyway, where you're from. The yarn bombers have been out, and you've actually got your own topper, haven't you?
Fantastic.
Somebody's knitted you a Max Whitlock special pommel horse.
Lucky.
On the top of the post box. Looks very nice.
I have. It was pretty cool to see, actually. It was really cool.
Are you going to get into the knitting like Tom Daly?
Yeah,
you seem to be
true.
Enjoying that.
You can knit your own one next time.
It would be quite cool. I mean, I'd never say no to learning new skills, but I don't know. I've got a lot more. Not more other stuff that I want to do, but you never know sometime in the future. Yeah. I never say never.
You're a long time retired, Max, and when they eventually do Celebrity Knitting, hosted by Tom Daly,
yeah,
you'll be there.
You'll be first
on the list.
Fantastic.
We will see.
Yeah. And just a final one, what about the next Olympic Games? Are you committed to do that? You're going to be working? Because it is 3 years, which kind of helps, doesn't it?
3 years definitely helps. And I mean, these are the Commonwealth Games, a great stepping stone on the way to it. You know, for now, I'm going to not put a rush on in terms of going back into training. Going to make sure I chill and use this time wisely, then build back in slowly when I'm fully motivated and itching to get back in. And then, yeah, we've got these stepping stones, like I said, the Commonwealth Games next year, and then World Championships, and everything will kind of build up. So the Olympics, yeah, Paris will be here before we know it. So cannot wait.
Well done, Max. Congratulations again on another gold, and good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
There we are, Max Whitlock, the Olympic gold medalist on the pommel horse. 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. The million tickets up for grabs, £22 or less. So very sensibly priced.
Very good.
So you can apply for tickets for all the 286 sessions of sport, the opening and closing ceremonies. So go along to the website, because tickets for the 2022 Commonwealth Games are on sale now. Birmingham2022.com. That's Birmingham2022.com. And get some tickets. It's on your doorstep.
When he says he's having downtime, Paul, do you think that means he's on the pies for a bit and like,
do you think, like
a few pints? When he gets back on the
like
horse.
Like Ricky Hattonwood.
When he gets the vest doesn't
like
quite fit.
2 year stag do, and then he's got to work it off in the gym. I doubt it.
I don't think
he keeps himself in sort of. He's got a little one, isn't he? Little girl. So he keeps him on his.
KFC team. Bucket you could have as you put your feet in there. Lovely little bit of. You know, sponsorship there.
Yeah, well, that's why you're the head of marketing here at TalkSport. Anyway, thanks to Max, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Matterface will be out on his with his scarf.
Is his scooter?
Some sort of scarf.
I can't
on.
See Lee Dixon on one of those scooters, can you?
Can you see Steve Bold and Tony Adams on those scooters going around Warsaw?
Remember that back four on a little scooter? I'm trying to think, really. Tony'd have a go. I think Tony Adams would have a go.
You know, yeah, Merson.
Give it a crack. There's
that whole
Wrighty
Arsenal
would,
team.
Wrighty's probably got one.
It's all up for grabs now.
Yeah. Charlie, we did ask the listeners about accidental games of football
yes.
we got into after your wife kicked a cooking apple down the street by mistake, and it was returned to her by another mum on the school run by accident. So were any standouts?
This is a dream one from Craig in North Wales. Hi, guys. A few years ago at work, I walked past a colleague and there was a plastic coffee cup on the floor. I said to him, Dave. So I don't know what that's not his voice, is it?
No.
I'm doing Dave. Dave, have you ever seen skill like this? I walked past the cup, never thinking I could do it in a million years. I flicked it up over my head like Ozzy Ardiles in Escape to Victory, and it landed perfectly on the table, and I walked off like I did it every day of my life.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful, isn't it?
Great. The thing is, in something like that, you never have to do it again, but I was working for a company, and it was like first few days, and somebody suggested going up the pub to get to know everybody.
Yep.
So I did that, and they said, do you have a game of darts? You know,
lovely.
So I stood up and I threw 140, which I've never done in my life. It's the only time I've ever done it. And they're all going, blimey, do you play? I'm saying, I don't know how that happened. And they're all going, oh yeah, right, you play for money, do you? Is this some sort of scam?
Hustler, big hustler, yeah.
And then they saw me sort of hitting it on the floor, missing the board and getting lots of ones and
should
fives.
Should have walked away off the 140, Paul.
I don't think I should play with you boys. It's not, but I couldn't do it. At least when you've done it with a cup, no one's going to ask you to do it again.
This is Anthony Lyons. When I was at school, I did a milk round and I dropped a pint of milk. My first instinct was to boot it.
That's been a common theme. People
it
drop
must be
things.
Something in you.
Most people drop things. One or two have said, I've tried to. There was another guy. Anyway, I'll let you finish this one off because there's another one. Keep going.
It travelled about 40 yards and it stood itself up. Now, that's a thing, Paul, with I don't know if you've seen a couple of years ago, there was a real craze of bottle flipping.
Yes.
And my son used to do it non-stop, where they where you get a bottle that's got a bit of water in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you flick it, and you have to try and land it on its end, like this.
Yeah. Or maybe not like that. Good job we didn't.
I was really trying to do it, you know. So it did it. But yeah, he got very good at it, but it did used to drive you mad. Like, Dad, watch. Dad, watch.
Yeah.
Dad, watch. You know.
Somebody was telling us they dropped a beer in a club in Dublin, but then just what you do sometimes when you drop something, you don't want it to smash, so you try and take the edge off the velocity, don't you, with your foot, which is a stupid thing to do. But he tried to do it with a bottle of beer, and he said, "I gracefully brought it under control and just flicked it to the side of the dance floor. Unfortunately, the bouncer saw that and kicked me out of the club."
Oh, well.
So what are you going to do?
A shame. He had a great first touch.
He did. That's right. He admitted it was probably the best first touch of his best first touch of his life. Anyway,
they've been great.
Thank you
very
for all
much.
Those this afternoon. We'll get you involved again in some other way tomorrow afternoon. We're with you from one. We'll have a birthday spread. No, still can't do it, Charlie. The intermittent sound of a man not managing to...
No.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Not happening.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
Back
Charlie,
tomorrow for the spread.
Tomorrow.
I've got to make myself better from last week.
For the spread.
Disastrous last week on the spread.
Thank you for listening. If you can join us on one, great. If not, podcast available as always around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.